To commemorate our fourth anniversary, Parcast and the team behind Unsolved Murders are taking a closer look at what it takes to catch a killer. It's a new series called Solved Murders True Crime Mysteries, and you can only hear it on Spotify. Every Wednesday, join hosts Carter and Wendy, as well as an ensemble cast of voice actors, as they explore the days, months, and even years leading up to a killer being caught. I've already had a chance to listen to some of it, and I can't wait to hear more. And now, here's your opportunity. This is an exclusive clip from the first episode. It's on the infamous In Cold Blood murders of the Clutter family. If you want to listen to the full episode, follow Solved Murders True Crime Mysteries free and only on Spotify.
Due to the graphic nature of this murder case, listener discretion is advised. This episode includes dramatizations and discussions of murder and assault that some people may find offensive. We advise extreme caution for children under 13.
In the midnight hours of November 15th, 1959, moonlight shone over River Valley Farm, casting the expansive two-story home of the Clutter family in a dreamlike glow.
The residents slept soundly. The house sat calm and still.
A gentle breeze carried the cool autumn air across the property's harvested fields. A scarecrow's shirt flapped lightly in the wind.
The farm's peace was dreamlike, but tragic coincidence would soon disrupt its slumber.
Pure, vicious chance carried with it a typhoon of misery. Nobody could have predicted what was about to transpire. It was random, it was purposeless, and it sat in a car half a mile down the tree-lined driveway, hidden beneath the shadow.
Inside, a sinister presence waited, tainting the air with a sense of dread.
The dark entity had already decided there would be no witnesses.
By the end of the night, that decision would prove deadly. Awful luck had brought the farm to its ruin.
Welcome to our first episode of Solved Murders, True Crime Mysteries, a Parcast original. I'm your host, Carter Roy.
And I'm your host, Wendy McKenzie. While we at Parcast love exploring the open-ended mysteries of our first show, Unsolved Murders, some of the most fascinating crimes are the ones where the bad guys get caught in the end. That's why every Wednesday, we'll tell you the tales of actual closed cases and reveal how some of life's greatest murder mysteries were solved.
In part one, we will introduce you to the victims, the mystery of their deaths, and the initial steps investigators took towards finding their killer.
In part two, we'll take you through all the dramatic twists and turns of the investigation. And finally, reveal how the suspect was caught and the murder was solved.
You can find episodes of Solved Murders and all other Parcast originals for free, exclusively on Spotify. To stream Solved Murders for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Solved Murders in the search bar.
This is our first episode on the Clutter family, a picture-perfect household of four who were found senselessly murdered in their home of Holcomb, Kansas. This week, we'll dive into the lives of the Clutters up to their last day on Earth. Then we'll discuss the discovery of their tragic deaths on November 15th, 1959.
Next week, we'll cover how the case went from hometown horror to a nationally infamous true crime saga, a story that would be forever immortalized in Truman Capote's groundbreaking book, In Cold Blood.
Most people in Finney County, Kansas, knew the Clutters well. They were model citizens, highly respected and beloved members of their community. And their sparkling reputation was something that the family patriarch, Herb Clutter, had fostered within his own life from the very beginning.
Throughout his childhood and teenage years, Herb was known as a good-natured young man who was intelligent and ambitious to boot, qualities that got him far in his small Kansas town.
He attended college in the early 1930s, a time when few people could pursue higher education, and thrived. He was a talented student in the agriculture department and well-liked by his peers.
But his life hit a high note when he met his classmate's younger sister, Bonnie Fox.
Hey, Mom wanted me to drop off. Oh, you're not my brother.
You must be Fox's sister. I'm his friend Herb. Herb Clutter.
Bonnie, my brother mentioned you briefly, but I think we may have met before.
We've met?
You're a Methodist, aren't you?
Oh, at church. I think I have seen you there. Hey, maybe next week we should sit together. Talk about the sermon.
You know what? I think I'd like that.
After some initial awkwardness, Herb and Bonnie hit it off quite well. Both were devout Methodists, and their shared values brought them together. They dated for a short time before Herb proposed.
The couple married in 1934, when Herb was 23 and Bonnie was 20 years old. When Herb had graduated college, the couple moved to Garden City, Kansas.
There, Herb began work as the assistant to Finney County's agricultural agent, where he educated farmers on the latest advancements in agriculture. And because he proved himself a quick study, he earned a promotion from assistant to agent after just 7 months on the job.
Things were once again looking up for Herb Clutter. As he laid down roots in Garden City, he made friends wherever he went. His new community found him and Bonnie incredibly likable, and the Clutters became mainstays in many local social clubs.
Yet, despite his thriving personal life and successful career, Herb wanted more. He'd always dreamed of owning his own land and starting a farm where he could truly provide for his growing family.
In 1936, Bonnie gave birth to their first daughter, Eviana. Then, 3 years later, in 1939, they had their second daughter, Beverly.
Inspired by Beverly's birth, 28-year-old Herb finally decided to take out a substantial loan to lease some land.
That year, Herb publicly announced his resignation as the county's agricultural agent. But some of the older men in town found his youthful determination highly amusing.
Herb Clutter, get over here.
We heard you might be starting your own farm.
You two heard right.
That's fine, Herb. You always know what's best to do on the other fellow's land.
Plant this, terrace that.
You might think differently if the place was your own.
Now you might think differently if you actually listened to me for a change. That's right, you old boys. I'm about to show you how a college man gets things done.
Well, good luck, Herb. Good luck.
Spurred on by the community, Herb leased land in Holcomb, Kansas, a small town only 7 miles west of Garden City. He named his new property River Valley Farm due to its proximity to the Arkansas River.
Herb set to work immediately and began toiling away for 18 hours a day, building his land up to what he'd always imagined, and his efforts paid off.
In a surprisingly short period of time, he grew his small operation into an expansive outfit sprawling across 3,800 acres of farmland, 800 acres of which he had purchased outright. He raised hundreds of sheep and cattle while cultivating wheat, milo seed, and grass seed. During busy seasons, he needed 18 employees to keep his business running smoothly.
It was clear to everyone in Finney County that Herb's success was hard-earned, and soon he became one of the most prominent farmers in the region. Some accredited his achievements to his college education, while others believed his religious devotion was to thank.
As a devout Methodist, he believed that any drug or stimulant was sinful. He refused to drink coffee and had never touched an alcoholic drink in his life. Herb was so against spirits, he even brought it up when interviewing his farmhands.
I've heard good things about you, and your resume seems to be in order. But before I get you a contract, tell me, do you drink?
In my younger days, I had a bit of a wild streak.
Ah, that's too bad.
But I ain't had a lick of drink in 7 years. I swear it.
Well, 7 years is a long time. But I warn you, I have no tolerance for drink on my farm or near my farmhands. If I hear a single whisper that you've been harboring alcohol, you'll be out the door. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now I'll get you that contract and we'll get you started. I think you'll like working on River Valley Farm.
While Herb was merciless when it came to his no alcohol policy, he was widely regarded as a great employer. He paid well, was a friendly boss, and was known to give his employees bonuses on a regular basis. Most of his hired hands thought giving up alcohol was well worth the trade-off.
Whatever the cause of Herb's success, his farm continued to grow, and his family grew right along with it.
On January 2, 1943, Bonnie gave birth to their third daughter, Nancy May. And less than 2 years later, their fourth child and only son followed. They named him Kenyon Neal.
The Clutter family had grown to be six strong, and to accommodate their expansion, Herb designed and built his own large two-story farmhouse. He also constructed a smaller home on the property for his full-time ranch hand, Alfred Stockline, and his wife and children.
River Valley Farm became a peaceful and prosperous place. The Clutter children followed in their father's footsteps, all of them becoming popular straight-A students, beloved by their classmates and teachers alike.
Bonnie took an active role in her church community, making many great friends along the way, and Herb gained more and more prominence within Kansas and even the nation as a whole.
He eventually became so well known for his role in the agriculture community that President Dwight Eisenhower appointed him to the Federal Farm Credit Board. The board, which represents the nation's 12 farm credit districts, was one of the highest honors a farmer could achieve, and Herb was only 43 years old at the time.
Naturally, Herb was delighted by this appointment, and for the most part, life was good. Until a dark cloud came into the Clutters' otherwise sunny lives.
Between the births of her four children, Bonnie Clutter developed a pattern of postnatal depression.
She also began to suffer from chronic back pain in the early 1950s. Which severely limited her ability to do the things she loved, like partake in her many social clubs or join her family on public outings. And this change eventually caused Bonnie's depression to hang like an ever-threatening cloud of misery.
Out of politeness, people in town refrained from talking about the specifics of her condition, but they would refer to her bouts as little spells. From time to time, these tics, or spells, would get so severe that she would check herself into the psychiatric ward at Wesley Medical Center in Wichita.
Her struggles with depression and chronic pain also caused her to sleep more often. While Herb regularly awoke at 6:30 in the morning, Bonnie would sleep as late into the morning as she could. And soon, their differing schedules began to wear on their marriage.
Oh, can you quiet down? The doctor says I need sleep.
You've already slept 10 hours.
Well, I guess I need 10 more.
Ridiculous. You're wasting yourself away, Bonnie. And you want me to waste away too? You want the farm to fall to pieces as I lay here beside you?
I just want you to be quiet. Quiet! 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 Before I quiet you all myself!
Well, it's too late for quiet now.
In order to preserve the peace, Bonnie moved out of the master bedroom and began to sleep in another bedroom on the second floor of their home.
While this change drew some whispers around town, it seemed to have helped save their relationship. They began arguing less, and for a time, life for the Clutters continued in a pleasant manner.
By 1959, Herb was 48 and Bonnie was 45. Their oldest daughter, Eviana, was 23 and married, while Beverly was 20 and engaged. Their youngest daughter, Nancy, was 16 years old, and their only son, Kenyon, was 15.
As Thanksgiving approached, the Clutters invited their extended family, over 50 people, to join them in celebrating at River Valley Farm.
They began their preparations several weeks ahead, but they were completely unaware that the gathering would never occur.
Instead, an unforeseen tragedy would bring these hopeful plans to a jarring halt.
To finish this episode and hear more, follow Solved Murders True Crime Mysteries free and only on Spotify.